So thanks for inviting me here today. I am the participation manager at Cray, and I'm going to talk a little bit about what we do as an organisation and then give a bit of information about implementation of children's rights at kind of national policy level, and hopefully we'll still be engaging given some of the very interesting and moving presentations we've already had. Cray was established in 1991, which is when the UK government ratified the Convention on the Rights of the Child, and we're now part of an organisation called Just for Kids Law, and we emerged in August 2015, and they do work with children who are in trouble with the law, and that's given us more sustainability for our work as a small NGO focused on children's rights at a time when it's quite hard to sustain that work. We believe human rights are a powerful tool in making life better for children, and we're a membership organisation, so our members include some of the much bigger children's charities like Save the Children, Bernardo's, NCB. And that means that when we do speak out on issues, it can give more power to what we're talking about. And our vision is a country that upholds the values, that values and upholds every child's human rights. So, our work is all focused on the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, that's at the centre, but we look specifically at the general measures of implementation and how that's happening here. So most recently, the government in the UK was examined in 2016, and Cray coordinated and submitted alternative reports from NGOs, but also from children and young people themselves. And we also work specifically on children and policing and criminal justice system. We're currently supporting a campaign led by Children on Homelessness, and we're also capacity building the voluntary sector around using more children's rights arguments. So I just wanted to talk a bit about the UNCRC and what that might mean and how it might look when translated into children's participation rights in our national policy. So I know that lots of people in this room will be very familiar with this, but for some of us that aren't, the CRC applies to children 17 and under, and it gives over 40 major rights, and they're civil, political, social, economic and cultural rights, and that covers all aspects of children's lives. And it obviously offers additional rights to vulnerable children. And the CRC has four general principles, and those are rights in themselves, but they're also the lens through which all of these rights should be realised. So non-discrimination, best interest of the child, the right to life, survival and development, and the right to be heard. And the right to be heard, Article 12, is, as we've already mentioned, very much the thing that is always, you know, brought up or referenced in terms of participation, even though it's not the only significant participation right in the CRC. So even though we had ratification in 1991, it continues to remain, implementation continues to be patchy. So the 2016 concluding observations from the UN highlighted that more needs to be done to see implementation across the country. So we need to think about what Article 12 really means. So it's respect for the views of the child, and when adults are making decisions that affect children, children have the right to say what they think should happen and have their opinions taken into account. And that includes decisions at family, legal or administrative levels. But in terms of defining participation, and I know that we talked about this morning, it relates to different forms of decision making. So those made at individual, projects, national or international context, and I think often at the national level and the international level, we get participation recognised, but children aren't participating in the processes of policy making. And that has a very big impact on the systems that are then formed. So participation rights aren't optional and they aren't charity, and they are sometimes constructed in that way, but they're actually legal obligations. The UK state is committed to implement the CRC, and they apply to all parts of the public sector, central government, local authorities, courts, hospitals. So they mean treating children with dignity and respect and valuing their views, and opinions, and that's central to the child rights approach. But I think something that came up earlier as well about participation is it's also having influence. It's not just listening, it's having influence. And so that is often what isn't happening. So in terms of some examples of successful implementation of children's needs, maybe at national policy level. We've got Section 38 of the 2014 Children and Families Act, which we worked there to have participation rights strengthened around preparation of education, health and care plans for children with SEN, so ensuring that local authorities must send the draft plans to child's parents or the young person, where previously this had been optional for them. So that's really good. That's definitely moving towards having those participation rights enshrined. Section 11 of the 2004 Children's Act successfully achieved inclusion of a duty that organisations and professionals working with and on behalf of children must develop a culture of listening to children and take account of their wishes and feelings, both in individual decisions and the development of services. The wishes and feelings is very important wording. So that's good. Those are positive steps. But when we look at recommendations from children and young people about how they would like to see the services or systems that they are placed within, I wanted to give an example from a report that we worked on in 2013. It's called Speaking Freely, which was a global study on violence against children and the justice system. So one of the recommendations in this, which was co-produced, to use a word that we've been discussing, was to promote, facilitate and implement the principle of respect for the views of the child throughout the justice system. In particular, involve children and young people with experience of custody in policy making and evaluation in justice institutions. So what I think is really important about that recommendation is that it recognises not just that there needs to be respect for the views of children, but that they need to be involved at the level of the policy making. And I was thinking about, we talked about, it was great hearing Sam more about marginal gains, but one of the things that was identified there was the need to bring about cultural change. And I wonder if it's possible to bring about cultural change without having children and young people recognised and participating in the policy making at that national level. So the current policy context, participation rights aren't enshrined holistically in policy making, and what that means is that progress is fragmented and participation rights are dependent on legislative opportunities. So sometimes you have successes and sometimes you don't. Progress is patchy and it varies nationally. I think somebody was speaking earlier about more success in Wales than England, and that isn't really implementation. So there's lack of knowledge and respect for participation at the level of national policy making. It's often seen as something that should just be kept at service delivery level, where there are fantastic examples, but it doesn't embed it in the kind of culture and society in the way that perhaps we'd like to see that. So what needs to change? Just some suggestions. Article 12 must be strengthened at the level of national policy making and development. So what that might mean is systematic inclusion of participation rights for children of all age groups. So there are some systematic examples, but they tend to be for older age groups, youth parliaments. Fantastic, but what about those younger age groups? Equally important. We'd like to see a public sector duty that applies to all civil servants, doctors, NHS staff and police officers. And we'd also like to see a statutory obligation at national and devolved levels to systematically conduct child rights impact assessment when developing laws and policies affecting children. We'd like to see that done in a way that isn't tokenistic, because children and young people are involved in it, but it certainly needs to be embedded. So that's it from me, but I suppose what I wanted to say was that if we don't do those things, we do continue to produce and reproduce systems that at best partially meet children's needs, but especially thinking about this in the context of CSE, at worst put them at risk of very severe harm. Thank you.